The Lord is the shepherd who provides, who refreshes, who guides, who protects, and who blesses the believer forever.
Wonder Lake Bible Church,
building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Well, as we continue our series in the book of Psalms today, we'll be looking at a psalm that is, without a doubt, a favorite of many, many people throughout generations. In fact, I'd probably say it's probably the favorite psalm for many, many people, and that, of course, is Psalm 23, in which we see the Lord is presented as our shepherd. We've been calling this whole series in the book of Psalms, "The Lord is My Shepherd," because that is a key theme throughout the entire book of Psalms. And today, then, we're going to be looking at one specific psalm, Psalm 23, that touches on that theme very powerfully and eloquently. As we said, there are many different types of psalms, and oftentimes psalms will have elements of one or more of these in them, not just one particular type. But in today, then, we do see a testimony of God's goodness and grace as a shepherd. We see some reflection, too, upon nature and how God then uses nature as an illustration for how He refreshes us, refreshes our hearts and our souls. And so for today, then, we're looking at Psalm 23, "The Lord is My Shepherd," in which we will see that the Lord is indeed, the Lord is the shepherd who provides, who refreshes, who guides, who protects, and who blesses the believer forever. And as I said, you're going to have a chance to testify today. We're going to look at the scriptures. I'm going to tell you some things. I'm going to testify a little of my own here. But then I'm going to encourage you to testify as well. How has God proven Himself a shepherd to you? How has He provided for you? How has He refreshed your soul? How has He guided you through life? How has He protected you? And how has He continuously blessed you? You can have your chance to testify to that today. So let's turn then now to the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. This is a psalm of David. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. That's great stuff, isn't it? Great stuff. Now, usually when that is read, we hear it at funerals, and that's okay. But I'd like to suggest this is a psalm that's not just for funerals. This is something for us to reflect upon daily. Is the Lord your shepherd? Well, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He certainly is your shepherd. But are you living in the conscious, daily awareness of that truth, of that fact? So the Lord is my shepherd. Provision is one of the first things it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We might need a little explanation here for this. I shall not want. How many of you want things? You want things? I want things, right? Well, if the Lord's your shepherd, you're not going to want anything. Is that what it's saying? No, of course not. To want means to have lack. To have lack. That is, The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Now, some of you still might say, I don't know. I can think of a lot of things that I'm lacking. Right? But again, even that is not capturing it. The idea there is what? Is that we shall not lack what we what? Not what we want, but what we need. Right? Big difference between want and need, isn't it? So it says what? I shall not want. I will not lack what I need. And as someone still even might say, well, you know, sometimes even believe it. There have been times when I lacked what I needed, I felt. And I would still say, well, even then, God knows what we truly need. He has promised, hasn't he? And we know that whatever his will may be, where it may take us in the circumstances of our lives here and now, our eternity is secure with him, isn't it? And we shall never truly lack what we need. Because his blessing is not only today or tomorrow, it's for how long?
Forever.
Forever. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will not lack what I need. You know, this view of the Lord as a shepherd, it's a common theme throughout the Scriptures. And in it we see the Lord depicted as a shepherd to his people generally. But also, you know what? You're a people. You're one of his people. And so he is a shepherd to his people generally, but he is a shepherd also to the individuals who comprise his people. The Lord was the shepherd of Israel, and now David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. And because he's your shepherd, you will not want. You'll not lack what you need. Sometimes calls for a perspective adjustment on our part there, doesn't it? We'll not lack what we need. You know, that word shepherd was a very, very common aspect of their everyday life as he wrote that. It's a little mysterious to us here today, isn't it? But as you think about it, what did a shepherd do? Took complete care of the sheep, didn't he? Would take them out, would take them to the places where they could graze in refreshing pastures, water. They need food. Sheep need food. They need water. What else? They need to be shown the way. They need to be guided, directed. They also need protection. There are predators out there, wolves, right? Thieves. And sometimes the sheep would get injured or wounded. And they would need a shepherd to come along to heal, to comfort and to heal. To watch over them all the days of their lives. But you know, the metaphor breaks down a little bit there because sheep aren't going to live forever and ever the way you will. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will not lack. I'll not lack what I need. And to reflect on that a little bit, I'd like to turn to a couple of New Testament passages that talk about need. The Lord is a shepherd and how we can trust him. The first is in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is a passage from the Sermon on the Mount. This was the first major teaching of Jesus that Matthew relays for us. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, here Jesus is speaking and he's telling his followers, those who would trust in him, he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Anybody here ever been tempted to be anxious about your life? Sometimes even the most basic needs here. It says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of what? Little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But, and here's the key, what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Anxiety, stress, worry. We worry about a lot of things. But the Word of God tells us, instructs us, what, that the solution to anxiety is what? It's faith, it's trust in God. Scripture also tells us what? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to present our request to God. And then what? And then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So Jesus tells us, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. And uses as an example, from the lesser to the greater. If God cares for the birds, will he not care for you? If God clothes the flowers of the field that are here today and gone tomorrow, will he not clothe you and care for your needs? But you know, trust and confidence in God to provide for us doesn't mean it's always going to be an easy road through this life, does it? That's why it's called faith, right? A confidence, a hope in God, in his character, in his promises. And there's something else he tells us in his word about the provision for our needs and our trust in him. Here was a servant, the Apostle Paul. If you know anything about the story of Paul, you know that as an apostle, he was called to endure much suffering for the sake of the kingdom, including sometimes going without the things that, well, we would say we need. But Paul learned a secret. He learned the secret called contentment. How many of you have learned that secret of contentment? I'm still working on that one. Because there's always something that comes up every day that wants to test us in that, isn't there? Contentment, that is, being satisfied and at rest, at peace with what God has given to us. And trusting him for the things we don't yet have that we think that we need, but knowing that he'll supply in his way, in his time, right? So Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Whatever the situation, I have learned, he says, I have learned that I am to be content. You know, there are decisions and choices we have to make sometimes, don't we? I've learned that I have to choose to be content. Being content is not the natural state of our souls, is it? Our souls tend to be restless and wanting and looking for things, always looking for something else. But we have to learn to be content, at rest with God and God's provision. So it says, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Verse 12, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. So he's learned the secret that he can be content in any situation, whether circumstances are very favorable or rough, great abundance or need. He's learned to be content. He's learned the secret. What is the secret? The secret is verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can be content through Christ who strengthens me. So it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, I'll not lack, I will have. He will provide for me. Now I can testify to you here today that actually it's not simply the case that God has provided for my needs. He's provided far more than I need. Can anybody testify to that? Above and beyond. Bless me ridiculously beyond what I need or deserve. He's faithful and he's generous. That doesn't mean I haven't known difficult times. It doesn't mean there haven't been desires that have been delayed or even told no. As you know, it was for a long time, it was a desire of mine that I wanted to be married. I wanted to have a family. Nothing wrong with that. But for whatever reason, it didn't happen. But you know what? I have learned the secret of contentment because, what? I can do all things, how? Through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm not lacking anything that I need. And in fact, I'm embarrassed to tell you how much more God has given me than I need. One of the ridiculous blessings that he has given me is all of you and this church. Now, I didn't say that in order to increase the offerings and up my salary, okay? I said it because I meant it, and it's true. That whatever may come from here on out, knowing that I had the privilege, the blessing of being able to serve here, serve with you and alongside you and serve the Lord in that. I don't deserve it. And one small example of your generosity, and this generosity comes in many different forms. I'm not just talking about material things, I'm talking about a generosity of spirit. Love and support, encouragement. But here's another, an example of it is, although it may simply mean you want to get rid of me, I'm not sure, but you're sending me to Israel next March, the good Lord willing, and assuming things calm down there. But even if they don't, I'll go anyway. But What an incredible blessing that is to be. You have no idea. Now you see, I didn't even need that, but God is giving it to me anyway. Through you. Well, I've talked enough. Does someone else want to testify here? How has God provided for you? He is your shepherd, and He has said that you shall not want. You will not lack what you need. Someone want to testify to God's gracious provision in your life? See, I knew this was dangerous to do this, but here we go. Jill.
They gave me my life for Christ. Without that, I wouldn't be here. He has given me a husband. He has given me my children and my grandchildren. He has given me my job every day. For 19 years, I've been able to go to the same place and do the same thing that I actually love to do. I have a house. I have you guys. I've always had a church to go to. I get to sing with you guys. I get to do Awana. I mean, how much more do I need than that? He has just taken care of me in every way possible.
Amen. Come on up here, Lori.
I just want to say that He has given me a lot in Greg, in family.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lori. I liked what you said when you said, He doesn't want our help, right?
Doesn't need it
either. Doesn't mean we're not responsible to make right choices, right? And to do our part. But in the end, we trust Him and He does it. Barb? Well, we could turn this whole hour into testimony time, but we'll move on to the next theme here. That the Lord is my shepherd. He provides for us. He also brings refreshment. Refreshment for our souls. You know, the shepherd would take the sheep, make them lie down in green pastures, and lead them beside still waters. Isn't that a beautiful picture there? Sheep in green pastures, going to still waters to receive that refreshment, refreshing water. It's a powerful picture of refreshment for the soul, for the spirit, reviving our hearts. In fact, there's a ministry called Revive Our Hearts, right? God provides green pastures and still water for our souls. Anybody here have one of those days when you say, boy, I could really use some green pasture and still waters today? Yeah. Refreshment for the soul. Revival of the spirit. And how does God do this? Sometimes it's literal green pastures and still waters, isn't it? When we contemplate the beauty and the majesty of His creation. Is contemplating God's majestic power and awesome creativity. But I think there's other ways He refreshes our souls. And this was a key one right here, and that's what? Through His Word, through the Word of God. This is food for the soul, isn't it? This is refreshment for our hearts and weary minds. Well, in a word, what is the refreshment? In one word, Him, God, He is our refreshment for our souls. But He may speak to us in any number of ways, and His Word, of course, is central. It's about that fellowship and that intimacy with God in His Word and in His prayer, or in prayer to Him. Conversation with God. I can tell you there have been a number of times when I've had some issues, difficult situations, personal or church-wise. How many of you find it hard to believe that sometimes there are difficult situations a pastor has to deal with in a church? Sandy finds it hard to believe. I want you to tag along with me someday, buddy. Kinds of things that can really get you worked up, get you anxious. I mean, what am I going to do? And of course, the answer is, I'm not going to do anything, right? Except obey the Lord, listen to Him, and trust Him. But I can tell you there have been many times when the Lord has refreshed my soul, when I've simply opened His Word. And I could be here sitting in the office, I can be at home, or I could be out and about, I can be sitting in traffic. Okay, I'm not actually studying Scripture in traffic, if that's what you're wondering, but just reflecting upon the Word of God when He refreshes my soul. The shepherd also guides. He provides, he refreshes, and he guides. The literal shepherd would guide the literal sheep. Where are they going today? Into this meadow or over that hill? He would guide them for their own sake, for their own goodness and health. But here, the Lord, the shepherd of our souls, says, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. God guides and directs us into the way we should go in life, paths of righteousness. Oftentimes, that's another common metaphor in the Scriptures. It speaks of the way we live as being like paths, or how we walk, walking in light versus walking in darkness. Straight paths as opposed to crooked paths. And so He's leading me, He's leading you in paths of righteousness. He's showing us how to live in a way that is honoring and pleasing to Him. Paths of righteousness. What does it mean to be a righteous person who is pleasing to Him? He guides me in paths of righteousness. Leads me in those paths. And why is He doing this? Well, it certainly is a blessing to me, for us, when we do that. But He's told He does this, why? For His name's sake. Do you know that God puts His reputation on the line every day with you and with me? How many of you find that a little bit of a scary thought? You should. But wow, God is putting His reputation on the line based on how you and I live. And that when we walk in paths of righteousness, what happens? He is glorified. He gets the glory, not you, not me. He gets the glory. See, the downside is, sometimes we're not walking in paths of righteousness. But the upside, the side intends, when we are, for His name's sake, is what? He gets the glory. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Life circumstances aren't always grand, though. And sometimes those paths of righteousness might take us through some very dark places, scary places. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, often this is taken to, you know, speaking of literal physical death, and perhaps so. I think certainly that can be a very scary place, facing the valley of the shadow of death. But that word death there means like a deep darkness. And so whether that deep darkness is the threat of death itself, or sometimes is very deep, deeply dark life circumstances, things that threaten to completely undo us. Anybody ever been there feeling like you're facing something that just has the power to wipe you out, destroy your life as you know it? But even though I walk in that place, because God never said He wouldn't take us through those paths either. But even then, what? I will fear no evil. I don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Why? For you, Lord, you are with me. He's always with you. He's always with me. His rod and his staff comfort you. Comfort me. The rod and the staff. The shepherd's rod was like a club. What do you suppose that shepherd used the club for? Wolves, predators. Actually beat back a predator that was coming after the sheep. Now the staff, when you think of a shepherd's staff, what do you think of? You see that like a stick with what? Like a hook on the end of it. Now what did the shepherd use that for? To go after straying sheep, he put that hook around the neck of the straying sheep. Go, whoa, no you don't. Back this way. Back this way. So even though we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, God has a big club for the predators. And if we're wandering off the path, his staff corrects us and brings us back. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Ever heard that expression, a mixed metaphor? Well, this isn't so much a mixed metaphor as it is a mixing of metaphors here. Because now we've been looking at a shepherd, and now we see a little bit of a change here. To where now we are seated at like a banquet. It says then in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's like a great table of blessing, of a banquet, a feast. And even my enemies are there and they're staring me down. But here I am enjoying the blessing of your presence and goodness and provision. Even as my enemies stare me down, you are there. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Our enemies can take many forms, can't they? But God prepares a table for us right there in their presence. You anoint my head with oil. Oil was a symbol of God's refreshing and comforting presence. It's oftentimes a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You provide abundantly for me, Lord. Surely, goodness and mercy, that is what? Blessing. Blessing shall follow me all the days of my life. Is God good? You know, I love, there's a quote, it was from one of the Narnia books. I think it might have been The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Not sure which one. But I think it was little Lucy Pevensey was, Aslan is this powerful, powerful lion, who is, of course, a symbol for Christ. And she's a little afraid. She's a little afraid of him. So she asks someone else, is this lion, is he safe? Is he safe? And she's told, no, he's not safe, but he is good. God is not safe, is he? God is dangerous, but he is good. And he's also merciful. Merciful to people like me who don't deserve it. And he's gracious, isn't he? To people like me who don't deserve it. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long? All the days of my life. And if that's not enough, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His blessing now. All of these things now. Provision, refreshment, guidance, protection, blessing now. But also what? I will dwell. I will make my home in his presence forever and ever. The Lord is my shepherd. So what? Well, I would remind us again that the Lord is the shepherd. The Lord is the shepherd who provides, who refreshes, who guides, who protects, and blesses you, the believer, now and forever. And so I would close with this one question, which is, do you trust your shepherd? Because that's the key right there, isn't it? The key to unlocking the blessing of all of these truths is what? Trust. Faith in him. It's easy to trust when things are going well, isn't it? That's not a test of real faith at all, is it? When things are going well, the way we want them to. It's when things are not going so well, when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, walking through the valley of the shadow of that deep darkness. That's when we need even more to trust the shepherd. God is not safe, but he is good. And for that, then, we can give thanks. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time we've had to reflect upon these wonderful truths about your ministry to us as a shepherd. And we think, too, of the words of your son, Jesus, who said, I am the what? Good shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that indeed you are a good shepherd. And Lord, sometimes you do lead us through dangerous places, things that test our faith. But we thank you that we can put our trust in you because you are good and merciful, and we have the hope of dwelling with you forever and ever. So Lord, teach us then to trust you more. I know that's a scary thing to pray, but God, I pray that we would trust you more. And we thank you that you are our shepherd who provides, who refreshes, who guides, who protects, who blesses, and with whom we will have fellowship forever and ever. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.